Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
The last chapter of Canto 6, chapter 19, and today we are reading text 6, a very beautiful mantra to worship Krishna's internal potency in, as part of the Pumsavana Vrata. Vishnu Patni Mahamaye Mahapurusha Lakshane Priyatame Mahabhage Loka Matar Namostute Vishnu Patni Mahamaye Mahapurusha Lakshane Priyatame Mahabhage Loka Matar Namostute Vishnu Patni Mahamaye Mahapurusha Lakshane Priyatame Mahabhage Loka Matar Namostute. You know that Vishnu is also one name of Krishna. Bhaktivedanta Vidyabhushan explains that Vishnu means Krishna who enters between each pair of the gopis in the rasa dance. So Vishnu is a very rasika name of Krishna in Vrindavan. Vishnu Patni, O wife of Lord Vishnu, Mahamaye, O energy of Lord Vishnu, Mahapurusha Lakshane, possessing the qualities and opulences of Lord Vishnu. The next word is extremely important. Without this attitude described by the next word, there is no bhakti. If you don't think like this in our devotional service, as described by the next word, our bhakti cannot be called really bhakti. Priyata, kindly be pleased. So that's what should accompany all our practice, this feeling. Kindly be pleased, then it becomes bhakti. Anukulyena. Me, upon me, Mahabhage, O goddess of fortune, Lokamata, O mother of the world, Nama, obeisances, Astu, may there be, Te, unto you. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. We have square brackets first to describe what's been happening before. After profusely offering obeisances unto Lord Vishnu, the devotee should offer respectful obeisances unto Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, and pray as follows. O wife of Lord Vishnu, O internal energy of Lord Vishnu, you are as good as Lord Vishnu himself, for you have all of his qualities and opulences. O goddess of fortune, please be kind to me, O mother of the entire world. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. The Lord has multifarious potencies. Parasya Shakti Vividhaiva Shruyate. Since Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is the Lord's very precious potency. It's beautiful how Prabhupada describes precious, very precious potency. Cherished, highly valued. She is addressed here as Mahamaya. The word Maya means Shakti. Anybody knows other translations? Maya. Well, of course, there's the famous about Mahamaya, but also there's another translation Srila Prabhupada often gives to the word Maya from the Amarakosha dictionary. You know? Mercy, yes, mercy. That's the one we are looking for. So, Shakti, energy, deluding potency, or mercy. Which one do you want to address? Lord Vishnu, the Supreme, cannot exhibit his power everywhere without his principal energy. It is said, Shakti Shaktiman Abheda. The power and the powerful are identical. Therefore, Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is the constant companion of Lord Vishnu. They remain together constantly. It should bring solace and happiness to your heart, because it looks sometimes in Vrindavan and they are like separated, but Prabhupada says, no, they are constantly together. One cannot keep Lakshmi in one's home without Lord Vishnu. To think that one can do so is very dangerous. Have you seen these pictures of Lakshmi with the golden coins? She is alone there. Do you think she likes to be alone? To think that one can do so is very dangerous. To keep Lakshmi or the riches of the Lord without the service of the Lord is always dangerous. For then Lakshmi becomes the illusory energy. With Lord Vishnu, however, Lakshmi is the spiritual energy. Vishnu Patni Mahamaye Mahapurusha Lakshane Priyetame Mahabhage Lokamatar Namostute. After profusely offering obeisances unto Lord Vishnu, the devotee should offer respectful obeisances unto Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, and pray as follows. O wife of Lord Vishnu, O internal energy of Lord Vishnu, you are as good as Lord Vishnu himself, for you have all of his qualities and opulences. O goddess of fortune, please be kind to me. O mother of the entire world, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Yasya Prasadada Gyopi Sadhya Sarvagyatam Vrajet Sashi Chaitanya Devo Me Bhagavan Samprasidatu. May Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, be fully merciful unto me, because by His grace a complete fool can get all knowledge in one moment. Shichitanya padam boja madupebhyo namo namaka tanjidasraya diesham shapitat ganda bhagbhavet. I offer my respectful obeisances unto devotees of Lord Chaitanya who are like the honeybees, always getting the sweet honey of his, relishing the sweet honey of his lotus feet. If somebody takes shelter of Lord Gauranga's devotees, somehow or other, he will get a share of this wonderful nectar, even if he's a dog. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mercy is something we all like to get, correct? With giving mercy, that may be sometimes more difficult, but getting mercy we always like. And we know that there are different kinds of mercy. We also hear, Yasyaham anugrihnami harishya taddhanam shanai. In the 10th canto, chapter 88, verse 8, Krishna says, Harishya, Yasyaham anugrihnami, whomever I want to bestow mercy, step by step,
I take away his opulence. Hare Krishna.
And he says, this is my mercy. So, do you like that kind of mercy? You cannot say no, right? That's Krishna's mercy. But if you have a choice, you would say, how about the sweeter, the softer kind? Is it possible if I can? But what determines which kind of mercy do we get? What kind of mercy do we get? The sweet or the bitter? That's a good question, right? Which kind of mercy do we get? So, it depends on how attached we are to our faults, to our anarthas. Because we think, you know, like Duryodhana, his wife was Alakshmi. His wife was Alakshmi. Means he had money, he had power, he had fame. So all the characteristics of blessings of the goddess of fortune. It looks like he had all kinds of good fortune. But this so-called good fortune, in fact, was the opposite. He was trying, why? Because as Prabhupada describes here, he wanted to keep the blessings of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, the wife of Vishnu, without Vishnu. He wanted to kill Vishnu and keep Lakshmi. So, we know, it didn't work very well for him. He lost his 100 brothers, and himself was killed in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So, in devotional service, especially in the beginning, we like to hear that this is the one-stop solution, and it is one-stop solution. If you go to Germany, there is a chain of supermarkets, and they have a funny advertisement. They write, "Einmal hin, alles drin." You go there, everything is in it. Yeah? Just one stop, all the needs are there. That's why we like supermarkets. So, bhakti, of course, is glorified as also this type of one-stop which gives you everything you need. Everything you need. And we oftentimes hear that it gives you all the good qualities automatically. Nowadays, we like automatic. Like, you know, some countries you can hardly find a clutch. I mean, the car which is with a gear stick. It's usually, you know, people like to pay a little more, but it's automatic. So we like automatic. You know, you're a little lazy, we like automatic. So how automatic is automatic? How automatic is bhakti? How is it that you really get just, you know, just finger your japa? You know, you have get a nice bead bag. Can even put some very spiritual slogan or picture on this bead bag, and you know, you can just put take it in your fingers and. And that's it. Very convenient. Very, very nice. It doesn't feel like extremely difficult. You can do this. And, you know, just do this and automatically you get all the good qualities, all the blessings, all good fortune. So is it correct or is it not correct? What do you think? It is. I'm warning you, don't get the wrong answer. You must give the correct answer. It is correct. You do get all the blessings. However, Krishna will try to help you advance. Krishna will try to help you advance in spiritual life. So, I love to repeat one quote from Niranjana Swami. I was once translating a conversation where one Mataji asked him, his disciple, she said, I am quite successful in my service, so should I work on my feeling of pride to remove it, or should I just continue with my devotional service? And Krishna will remove it automatically. She said, I'm quite good in book distribution. I'm quite good in collecting donations. She collected probably half the, you know, she collected a lot for a huge temple, 11-story high temple, half the bricks probably. So she says, being successful, I feel a little proud sometimes. So should I work on removing it myself, or should I continue simply and Krishna will remove it automatically? So Niranjana Maharaj, he replied that if you just continue in devotional service, Krishna will remove your pride. But how he does it, you may not like. So, don't worry, brothers and sisters, Prabhus and Matajis, everything will be successful, but don't complain. If you leave it up to Krishna, then how can you complain, right? And if you want to get mercy in a specific way, then maybe you need to also perform some, do some efforts on your own. Right? If you don't give up your pride, Krishna will help. But then don't complain. And if you want to avoid some unpredictable help, then give it up yourself. Easy. Hare Krishna. It's quite humorous, although some of you seem worried and anxious. I don't know why. You all seem to be very humble and free from pride. I should be worried, not you. But there's a lot of mercy in devotional service. In the Bhagavatam, pure devotional service is described again and again and glorified again and again. It's called Bhagavad Dharma. Pure devotional service is called Bhagavad Dharma or Bhagavad Dharmas. And there are many places where this path of devotional service is described and where Bhagavad Dharmas are described. One of the famous places where Bhagavad Dharmas are described is Canto 11, conversation between King Nimi and the Navayogendras. And King Prabuddha gives a famous description of the path of bhakti or Bhagavad Dharma. King Nimi says, how can a foolish person attached to matter quickly achieve success in bhakti? It sounds like a very good question. I don't know, maybe it's not relevant for you, I'm sure, but I find this question to be very good. How can a foolish person attached to material things achieve success quickly? I find it's a beautiful question. And King Prabuddha says that people try to find happiness in this world. They think, let me become wealthy and opulent, and then I will be happy. But that doesn't bring them happiness. Shishi Gurnita, Shishi Krishna Balaram, Shishi Radha Shama Sundar Lalita Vishaka Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Then he says, they try to find happiness in relationships. And do they find it? Not really. Even in the heavenly planets, they cannot find happiness. So, tasmad, a very famous verse, tasmad gurum prapadyata jigyasu shaya uttama. Therefore, one should approach a bona fide guru, and three qualifications are described, to ask him about the supreme benefit, jigyasu shreya uttamam. And from this guru, one should ask about Bhagavad Dharma, by which Krishna is pleased and awards us giving himself. That's the characteristic of devotional service. Krishna gives himself when you perform Bhagavad Dharma, so devotional service. And then 11.3.18, 11:3:18, this is where it starts describing, and I think 23, the first three out of 30 Bhagavad Dharmas are described. So one should approach the spiritual master, ask him, hear from, start learning, shikshet, one should start learning pure devotional service from the spiritual master, and then the first three methods are described. Dayam, Maitrim, Prasarayam, Cha. Dayam, Maitrim, Prasarayam, Cha. You know what is the meaning of the word Daya? Daya? In Bengali you'll say Doya. Daya. Compassion. Yes, compassion. Oh, mercy. Yes. That's the first step mentioned. Mercy. Meaning that you should be merciful. You should be kind. The next one is Maitri. Maitri is friendship. And the next one is Prashraya, meaning reverence. It's translated there as reverence or respectful attitude. So these are mentioned as the first three steps of Bhagavad Dharma in devotional service. So this is part of our practice. Yes, we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare Hare, thank you. Yes, that's the only way of advancement. That's the Yuga Dharma. We chant Hare Krishna, we help others chant Hare Krishna, we sing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and that increases the good fortune of the whole world. And if you engage in these for 20 years or 10 years, by the way, maybe I can ask you humbly, who has been chanting regularly for at least 5 years? Here, maybe I can ask you. Thank you. Who has been chanting here for at least 10 years? Okay, thank you, yes. So if you have been chanting for 10 years or 15 years and you still feel frustrated, sometimes, may happen, it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, it can happen, then, as they say, maybe it's the time to read the manual. Maybe there is some instruction that's helpful to how it actually works. What's the proper way to perform it, to follow the process? Yeah. If, you know, as the saying goes, if you tried everything and nothing works, read the manual, right? So this is the manual, right? Srimad Bhagavata Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, that's the manual. It gives all the answers. All the answers are here. I can share some of the shocking experience. One shocking experience thank you, it's warm. Had in my first or second year of devotional service, my bhakta leader was talking to me and he said, you know, there is this devotee, that devotee, he's a very good preacher. He chants 64 rounds, which is really wonderful and desired. He just sleeps only 4 hours a night. And he's fully engaged in devotional service. He can attract hundreds of people to take to devotional service. He can convince hundreds of people to take to devotional service. But that was not shocking. That was very attractive. But then he said something that shocked me. He said, "But you wouldn't like to be in the same building with him. You would not like to be in the same building with this person." I thought, "How so? You know, if he's chanting 64 rounds, if he's preaching so nicely, he's a saint, right? Correct? He's a saint. He's doing all things well, all things correctly. That's wonderful. So you want to be, we are attracted to saints. We like to be with saints. Why wouldn't you want to be with a saint?" Which quality do you think was not fully practiced by this nice devotee? Which quality do you think would... Compassion, humbleness, Friendliness. Thank you. You know everything. Yes. So, this is also what the Bhagavatam says, that from the beginning, we should, like, you know, if you have been able to do amazing service and then you see everybody runs away from you, then you can think, maybe there is something I should add to my practice. Maybe there are some one or two things I should also practice. And we should not think that this is something external, that this is something outside of bhakti. In Jaiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that humility and kindness or compassion or mercy is bhakti. It's not something outside of bhakti. This is the definition of bhakti. It's in the heart of bhakti. It's a quality of bhakti. So, kindness to others is the first element of Bhagavad Dharma. It's very important for our advancement in devotional service. So this is December. This is Srila Prabhupada's Srila Prabhupada marathon. We are distributing books, and this is supposed to be the practice of what? Compassion. Preaching is practicing, is a practical manifestation of your compassion. That's how we practice our compassion. We try to help others. We try to give good fortune to others. But it will also help if you remember that this is what this is compassion. That we are trying to help others. We are not doing this for being glorified, for collecting some points, for collecting some Lakshmi points, or for, you know, for all of these other things. But we are doing this for Krishna's pleasure, and this is the practice of mercy from our side. This is the practice of mercy. And if we do it in such a way, our progress will be unimpeded. Our progress will be smooth. Our progress will be happy. If you are trying to make others happy and fortunate practicing mercy, Krishna will be happy to make you happy, will be happy to give mercy to you. And of course, that includes being kind to devotees. That includes being kind to devotees. This is the description of the Madhyam Bhakta. Right? There are three levels described also in that 11th canto, three levels of devotees. And one level, they worship Krishna only in the official place. They see Krishna only on the altar or in the temple. But natad bhakteshu cha anyeshu. But they don't offer appropriate respect to Krishna's devotees, and cha anyeshu, and non-devotees, also non-devotees. Sa bhakta prakrita smrita. That devotee is a materialist, is a materialistic devotee. That devotee is, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, bhakta praya, is a shadow of a devotee. So we want to be, we want to please Krishna, we want to be Madhyam Bhaktas. We want to be Madhyam Bhaktas. Srila Prabhupada says that because Kanishtha Adhikari doesn't know how to be respectful, he's practically useless for preaching purposes. Hare Krishna. Yes. Do we want to be useful or useless? We want to be useful, right? We want to please Krishna. So that's why we want to be Madhyam Bhaktas. And Madhyam Bhakta is somebody who practices four things. We practice prema to the Lord. We practice loving service to the Lord. But then also prema, maitri, kripa, upeksha. So two devotees, we practice maitri. Yah karoti samadhyam. We practice friendly relationships. We develop friendship. So friendship in general, and we need also at least a few close friends, at least a few close friends in our devotional life. Otherwise, we do not fit the definition of a Madhyam Bhakta, who is the first real level of a devotee, of a real devotee. So we need at least one or two or three very close friends who know everything about us. And despite this, they still wish us well. even though they know us closely, they still wish us well. And we also wish well to them. So that's the friendly relationships. Although we are friendly to everybody, but at least a few close friends we need. And kripa, to Ishvara tadadhineshu balisheshu, to people who are not as qualified, maybe. So we practice mercy to them. And to those who are dvishatsu, who are envious, inimical to us, hostile, then we upeksha, we practice some kind of neutrality, avoiding such people, just, you know, don't go quarrel with these people. So, yahkaroti samadhyam, if you do like this, then you are the intermediate devotee. And then you can really do wonderful service, and you can really do wonderful service. So, all these qualities are mahapurusha lakshane. All these qualities are blessings of Lakshmi, and we know that Adi Lakshmi, Adi Shakti is Radharani. They are blessings of Radharani, and by manifesting desire to please Shishi Radha Krishna, Shishi Radha Shyama Sundar, by showing our willingness to be kind and respectful in devotional service, we can attract their blessings. So on one side there are blessings, on the other side our effort. In Damodar Lila, two fingers are there. So on one side effort, parishrama, on another side is their mercy, kripa. And kripa is the main shakti. So Lakshmi is the reservoir of all the shaktis of Krishna, or Shrimati Radharani. And omnipotence, having all power, is one of Krishna's shaktis. Satya Sankalpa, fulfilling all desires. We know that when Mother Yashoda was trying to bind Krishna, she couldn't. And the acharyas explain that Krishna didn't want to be bound. Obviously, nobody wants to be bound. And Krishna had good reasons. He was thinking that I have a busy schedule. I have to go break pots in the house of that gopi. I have to go steal butter from that house, steal yogurt from that house, feed the monkeys, and then play with my friends. I have no time for this. I have a busy schedule today. And so he didn't want to be bound, and therefore Satya Sankalpa Shakti decided, oh, my master doesn't want to be bound. And so she just curved the space a little bit, and no matter how many ropes Yashoda took, she could not bind him. Even though it was a concerted effort. Indra Prabhu once, in his last birth, on his last appearance day, he said that this is the example of devotee cooperation. So Sankirtan also is a cooperative effort. They always get together to please the Lord. So all the gopis got together to, of course, they did something funny. They tried to bind Krishna. Some gopis did say to Yashoda, don't, you know, leave him alone. But Yashoda said, no, that's for his benefit, for his, because otherwise he'll grow, you know, now he's stealing butter. If I don't correct him, then as he grows, he will start stealing bullock carts. Hare Krishna. So she wanted to do her duty, perform her duties, and she was trying. And she was trying and trying so much that she started sweating. And then Krishna saw, and his Kripa Shakti stepped forward. Fortunately, Kripa Shakti is his main energy. And she looked, oh, your devotee is already tired, she's trying so much. And Krishna felt compassionate. So then Kripa Shakti pushed, told Satya Sankalpa, move aside. And then decided to give mercy. And then, ta-da! And the rope reached, the rope became sufficient to tie Krishna. So two things are necessary. Blessings of Krishna, his mercy, but also our effort, so that these blessings can be received. Our effort makes us able to receive Krishna's mercy. So, please think how you can practice being merciful. You can see that these are different facets of the same bhakti. Merciful is the, you can see this is a practice of bhakti. Being friendly is a practice of bhakti. Being friendly to devotees, how can you be a devotee if you're not friendly to devotees? Can you be a devotee if you're not friendly to devotees? Does it, is it logical? Does it make sense? You know, I try to please Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita says it's like washing the feet of a guest, massaging the feet of the guest, and then hitting him with a stick on the head. And say, why are you dissatisfied? I just massaged your feet. Okay, I hit you with a stick, but I massaged your feet. So if we are not kind to devotees, where is logic in it? Where is the logic? It makes sense. So friendship, mercy. So you can think and add this as a conscious practice. As you distribute books, please remember that your desire is to show kindness to people. That's an act of kindness. Also see how it influences your book distribution. It's not just trying to push the book and get the money or something. No, it's an act of kindness. It's an act of compassion. That's what it is. That's the practice. And friendly to devotees. So if we practice like this, then that's the proper, these are the first three steps of the Bhagavad Dharma, of pure devotional service that are recommended in the Bhagavatam. That's how we act. Do you have somebody in mind with whom you can practice your friendship? You can tell them, you can buy them a nice maha suite, or tell them about some nice shloka in the shastra that you heard today, or something, sweet quality of Krishna. Share a sweet quality of Krishna with them. That's friendship, trying to give them the good fortune. And mercy, trying to help those who may lack some blessings in life, trying to give all the, to help people get all the blessings, all the good fortune in life. So this is coming from Vishnu Patni Lakshmi, who is an expansion of Shrimati Radharani. Shrimati Radharani is Adi Lakshmi. So every day we chant half of our mantra towards her. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, which is both, we know that this is to get the mercy of Shrimati Radharani, to please Radharani, but also it's a little hidden, so it's not cheap, it's a little secret. But Srila Prabhupada tells that we address, O Krishna, O energy of the Lord, Shrimati Radharani, please be happy, please be pleased, I want to serve you, please engage me in devotional service. And how we engage, how do we chant, how do we practice devotional service? With mercy, with friendship, with respect. And if we practice like this, then we can get all success. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Oh dear friendly and merciful devotees, is there any question or comment to make this class better? Jagannath, Hare Krishna. Yeah, we have a mic. Not even in the building, in the same building.
So I was appreciating the value of that story in terms of a self-analysis, but I was concerned about that story in terms of our superimposing our understanding on a devotee who might actually be more sure. So I was thinking like this. I wonder sometimes how many of us would like to be in a room with, let's say, Gaurī Kishore Das Babaji. What we hear was very
sharp.
Sense, or even Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. We hear from Shastra Santo, Ivasi Shinanti, Manodhya Samu Mukti Vihya Sadhu, is one who cuts yep. at the mind's dangerous attachments. And naturally, if we're attached, feeling that could be very intense. Plus, we have other verses from Rupa Goswami warning us about analyzing bodies. Of course, in text 5 of Negative Instruction, he speaks about this like discrimination. But in text 6, he gives us a warning. And also, I was also just thinking in Gita, what is night for common man?
Yep.
The time of waking, yep. and so on. So sometimes we might be superimposing a lower adhikara.
Yes, yes, sure.
Higher adhikara.
Of course.
So, in consideration of all these thoughts, I was concerned about, because I feel like this is a problem that we also have in our bhakti, is we tend to measure something based on our own reference point or ego.
Yep.
Adhikara, and then we make mistakes about the words we may actually. Sure.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for balancing this with this nice comment, appropriate comment. Yeah, definitely. Definitely, this is a danger, and we should add the, how shall we call it, the indemnity clause, that all these instructions are for the internal use only. Like on medicine, you can read sometimes it says external use only. You know, something for disinfection or something, you don't drink it. And some medicine are for internal use only. So all these instructions are for internal use only. So we should apply to ourselves. Because, yeah, it's not that, oh, I heard in the class that, you know, you can chant 64 rounds and be an unpleasant person. I think that person is like that. That would be a misuse of this point. No, what I'm saying, if you find that people avoid you or that you are not happy in devotional service, you can think, are you practicing the Bhagavad Dharma as it is described there? And, you know, you can say, no, I am the sharp sadhu. I am giving my hard love, tough love, as my mercy is always cutting and sharp. Okay, but you know, how much it is cutting and how much it is mercy. We can analyze. Is it actually, because we may just enjoy cutting people. It's also there, definitely. And it's very pleasant, just go around and cut people. I shoot from the hip. So it's for internal use only. And in others, that devotee definitely has done a wonderful service. I was speaking about the shock for myself. That, yeah, these look like nice, very important practices. However, if we neglect the other areas given there, and also even cutting, that's appropriate. Another surprise for me was the Vaishnava etiquette I found in my Brahmacharya ashram, the first Brahmacharya ashram, West Ukraine I joined, and then I see this, there was 45 points from Bhaktisharma Maharaja's, you may remember that old Vaishnava etiquette seminar. And I remember I read point, it was I think 31, that a devotee doesn't chastise anybody except his disciples and children. So I thought, it looks like I don't have disciples and children I also don't have. So it looks like I'm not supposed to chastise anybody. Interesting. So it's... the act, if we are chastising it or criticizing or giving the cutting remarks, it's appropriate from guru to disciple. So if I'm cutting, I'm taking the position of a guru, and in that case I have to look, does the other person take the position of a disciple, and is he a disciple who can stomach such mercy? Can he digest this mercy? Right? If you are a guru, then you can judge. Can he stomach it? I remember, I grew up in Harikesh zone. It was, you know, in the 90s, and he was famous as a rather harsh person, tough in relation. But he said, and he had very dedicated disciples. But he said, I try to not give more than one correction to my disciples a day. You know, I measure. One, he can take. More, he will not be able to. He'll start taking offense, feeling insulted. And Bhaktisiddhantaji, we always hear that he was harsh, and it sounds like he was a little cutting a lot. Acharya Keshari, Acharya Keshari, the lion guru, the lion guru, Acharya Keshari. But if we read, we see that many people joined his mats, leaving behind very loving homes. I think Bengali mothers are famous for being kind, isn't it? Very kind. Bengali, and he had full, you know, thousands of brahmacharis leaving behind very loving homes, and they were preferring to take his association. So there was a lot of love he was giving too, definitely. There was a lot of love. So much love that actually people were preferring his association to the association to the loving homes they had. They were not. I don't think there were any dysfunctional families in Bengal at that time. They definitely had a lot of love, but they preferred his association. So he was sometimes cutting, but he would see what is the appropriate. Even in his super famous Brahmana and Vaishnava expose of the misconceptions, his first, I think, 3 days, he was glorifying the Brahmanas. And only after that, he started exposing the mistakes. And it created such an impression that all the people wanted to wash his feet. I think finally the police asked him, Maharaj, let's do it. Because otherwise there would be a riot, people wanting to touch his feet. So we should not, again, use it. So if we are the object of such tough mercy, we should take it as mercy. But if we are giving somebody mercy, we should see, am I in a position? Can he take it? And do I really think that, do I really want his benefit? Do I actually act for his benefit? Do I want him to be happy and advance and become elevated? Make sure that we are actually practicing mercy and not just trying to satisfy our desire to criticize. Thank you. Thank you for mentioning this. Yes. Yes, please.
My question is more about the devotee processing other devotees. We spoke a lot about the devotee who was chastised.
Yes.
My emphasis is more about the devotee who is observing other devotees.
Chastising others.
And this tendency to measure according to our perception. We hear that one meaning of the word maya is to measure. Sri Bhaktisiddhanta also told that. So I was looking for tips how we actually circumvent the problem of measuring other devotees who we may not be able to understand for whatever reason. Maybe they are actually neophyte, or maybe they're more advanced.
Yes.
So I was looking for tips on how do we deal with that within ourselves, this tendency to measure, and then come to a wrong conclusion,
yep.
Then end up in a dangerous situation.
Yes, it's a very important question. How do we learn to see others properly? In fact, the nectar of instruction you mentioned puts this before verse 6. This is the threshold verse. The holy name, nectar of the holy name, comes in the next verse, verse 7. And Banu Sami points out that maybe it shows how important it is to develop the proper vision. To see drishtaih sabhava janitair vapushascha doshai na prakritatam iha bhakta janasya pashyat. Only after the development of proper vision of other devotees can we think about reaching the nectar, attaining the nectar of the holy name. Banu Sami points out that it comes in sequence. That comes after this. It's probably not possible and not also desirable to stop seeing what we see. You know, we see what is there, and it's not required to become blind. Nobody demands that you become blind. But as you pointed out, we should give the benefit of a doubt to everybody. Both to those who are criticizing, and maybe somebody is not criticizing but doing some other things that we don't like.
So give them the benefit of a doubt. You can. It's another good exercise. Think. Can you think of some excuse that you would accept to justify such behavior in the person? That's the meaning of benefit of a doubt. Yeah. What could actually justify in your eyes or in your heart? What could justify? Because don't we ever do this? Don't we ever commit any mistake? And do we criticize ourselves? When we always find some justification. So can we also do this for others? Can we find a justification for others? So that's a good exercise. And this is what Sati describes in 4.4.12, three levels of greatness. Three levels of greatness. She says, Mahat, the great, there's a beautiful purport by commentary by Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and by Sridhar Swami. So Sridhar Swami describes four levels of greatness of vision. She says, Mahat, great people, and that's the entry level for the Brahmana or Sadhu, or a teacher or a preacher or a devotee. This is the great person is somebody who sees the bad. He's not blind. He can see the bad. But also in that Yanisha Sarabhutani you mentioned, also Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that he is not blind. He can see, this is night, this is day. He just doesn't engage. He can see, this is that. But he doesn't engage in undesirable things. So Mahat, he can see the bad qualities, but he never forgets the good the person does or did or can do. So a normal person, like even we have a friend who did so many good things to us, or a relative, and then they do one bad thing that we don't, that hurts us or gives us pain or insults us, finished. We don't want to have anything to do with this person. So that's an ordinary person's behavior. And Mahat, a Brahmana or a Sadhu, a devotee, he will see, yes, this was not pleasant, this is bad, but he also did this and this and this, and he has this good quality and that good quality. He's chanting, he's serving the Lord, he's preaching. So I should give him the benefit of a doubt. So that's the first level. And then the next level, he's Mahattara, greater, is a person who sees good and bad, but he focuses on the good. He tries to encourage the good side of a person. That's why we are very attracted to sadhus. And it's very attractive when we find such a person. It really, who can see something good in us. And I know some devotees who are famous as a little harsh, but they were able to always see the good qualities in you. Right? Also, so many people, like from a distance, they may seem as a harsh person, but if you come closer to them, you will see they really have a loving heart. They really have a loving heart, and they really want you to be fortunate. Isn't it? So that's a sign of a Mahattara. And Mahattama, Sati says, that is the greatest. The greatest, she says, is like Lord Shiva, who can find a good quality in a pile of faults. Is a person who is full of faults, like he's Bhutanath, he's leading the ghosts. So ghosts are not very fortunate bunch of people, Hare Krishna. But he still finds some good quality, he engages them and leads them to advance further. So that's extremely attractive, that's the greatest. And she says there are people, Daksha, like you. This is the Asadhu, who can look at the perfect person, like Lord Shiva, faultless person, and still find fault in something they do, like you, Daksha, she says. So this is something to consider. So why I brought it up, because she says, you can see the bad, but if you make an effort to not stop seeing the good, to not forget the good qualities in the person, I think this is the proper exercise to help us to at least stay on the platform of a sadhu or a preacher. Because if you don't see good in others, you cannot preach. That's why Kanishtha is said to be useless, practically useless for preaching, right? Because he cannot see good in others. So that's, he cannot fan the spark. He cannot encourage the person, right? Is it okay? I mean, this is the unlimited subject to, I mean, this is, we find the answer to this question in our decades of practice. So as soon as you found this the answer to this question, bas, you can reach the nectar of the holy name. So to the extent you experience the, relish the holy name, to that extent you know how to respect and be kind to other people and devotees. Hare Krishna. Okay, you are still sitting here. Not everybody ran away. Okay, one last question. Yes, Prabhu. Prabhuji was there from.
Thank you for a very nice class. Would you like to say Kripa and Upeksha?
Pardon?
It's Kripa. Mercy and Upeksha, that is to ignore or neglect. Like, four things over there.
Yes.
Sometimes difficult to draw a line between two. Like, somebody supposed to want to help him to advance Krishna consciousness. But he's like, he's not ready. So should we still continue or just neglect Upeksha?
Upeksha is for envious people who want to hurt you, who are inimical or demoniac. That's where upeksha is appropriate. Right? And if somebody is just immature and is struggling, you don't have to give them upeksha. You may want to give them time to grow. It may take a little time for a person to struggle through, to go through the dark valley of this meeting their mind in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, incorporating, coming to terms with the dark sides of their mind, and learning how to engage their mind, their full personality in Krishna's service. So that's why also the third, titikshava karunika, that's why another very important quality, Sahishnuna, tolerance. You may give a good instruction, and they maybe can give some time for the person to process to move on. But if they are making efforts, there is hope. So you can try to practice mercy. At least you can pray for the person. At least you wish them well, and the person feels it. They feel it that you are not just trying to control and exploit them, but you actually want them to grow. And they will respond, right? Thank you so much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Adi Lakshmi Shrimati Radharani ki jai, Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hare Jai.